This is continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh from True Crime Today.
Welcome back to continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh, day number 5 of courtroom testimony. We'll take you back now for the 4th and final segment of today, January 31st of 2023.
You may now be seated.
If you'll bring the jury, please.
The jury is present, sir.
Thank you. You may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. I believe we were discussing State's Exhibit 281 before the break. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
And what was that again?
This is a Cellebrite report from Maggie Murdaugh's iPhone extraction. It has just call logs for the date range of 6/5/2021 to 6/7/2021.
Okay. And I believe you said it contains information, the date and time the call was made, correct?
Yes, sir, it does.
Whether it was outgoing or ingoing call, correct?
Yes, sir.
And whether a call was answered or not, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. And at this time, State will move to introduce State's Exhibit 281 into evidence.
Okay.
Submit it.
All right, Lieutenant. This report is 20 pages long, correct?
Yes, sir.
And we're not going to go through line by line every call, but I'm going to focus on, can I have the Elmo, please? Okay. Let's take a look at Maggie's call log from the night of June 7th. All right, can you read that from your screen up there, sir?
Yes, sir, I can read down to item 8 on that.
Okay, and actually we're gonna go back a little bit more in time. All right, and let's look at line 14 on this report. Do you see that, sir?
Yes, sir, I can.
And first of all, when I say line 14, what am I referring to on there?
On the left-hand side of the picture, there's a column, and when you build a report, it adds the numbers just to make it easier to keep track of in that report. If you added this report with another piece of item, whether it's text messaging or voicemails, it would change the numbers.
Okay. And on line 14, what is that data entry? What does that represent?
It represents a call that was outgoing on this phone.
All right. And we see a number. Don't read the number, but we see a number and a name below it in the second column there. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
And what's that name?
Barbara.
Okay. And did you say that this is an outgoing call or an ingoing call?
It shows the direction as an outgoing call.
Okay. Now, I look at line 13, and I see another entry that says Barbara. What is that?
That is the same call. It's entered in two different databases, and it pulls from both databases because it's both call logs.
All right. And so there's two databases for call logs on Maggie's phone? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, sir.
And just briefly, what does that mean? There's two different logs.
There's several different SQLite databases in a phone, and it's going to contain the information in different places. One may be recent calls. One may be calls that are considered past the recent step that's set in the database, so that it's going to be in the call logs, but it's not going to be in the recent. Sometimes you'll see them in both databases, recent and the call logs.
Okay. All right, and so that what time is that call that you see on the entry there, lines 13 and line 14?
At line 13, it's on 6/7/2021 at 7:50:19 p.m. minus 4 UTC.
Okay, so that's 7:50 p.m. Eastern time, correct?
Yes, sir, it is.
And In the next column, we see a number, and it says 246. What does that mean?
That is the duration of the call.
Okay. So at 7:50 p.m., Maggie placed a call to Barbara. Is that correct? That lasted 2 minutes and 46 seconds.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
And we see a slight time difference between line 13 and line 14. It's about 4 seconds. And that's just simply the different way the different logs record the data?
Yes, sir. It's because they're going into different databases, so there is a lag in that.
But your testimony today is, what is the exact time that call was placed to Barbara?
That call was placed to Barbara at 6/7/2021 at 7:50, 19 p.m.
Okay. In your review of Maggie's call logs, was this the last answer, or excuse me, the last phone call that was either dialed or answered by someone on Maggie's phone?
I would have to check the logs again, but I believe so.
I'll let you know that. Take a look.
Yes, sir, that's correct. That's the last answered call or one that was shown in the direction of outgoing.
All right. No more outgoing calls that night, correct?
No, sir, correct.
And no more answer calls the night of June 7th. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Okay, we're going to look at lines 9 and 10. I don't know if you can see that on your... I got it reversed. My bad. There we go. Okay, let's look at lines 9. I can't quite see the line. You can see line 10, correct?
Yes, sir, I can.
And there's a staple there, but above that should be line 9, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. And then we also see lines 11 and 12, correct?
Yes, sir, we do.
All right. And what do lines 11 and 12 show?
They show that the phone from Maggie Murdoch received a phone call from 1-803-942-1227. On line 11, it has the name Alex associated with it. Shows the direction is incoming.
Okay. And was that call answered?
No, sir.
Okay. And again, we see two line entries for the same call. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
However, there's a difference. One line, line 11 says Alex, and line 12 says PA. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
But they're the same number, though, correct?
Yes, sir, they are.
And again, briefly explain why we see a Alex and a PA between those two lines.
Because they're two separate databases that these were entered into. And when you set up your contact list, you can go through, and if you wanted to set a name for either a spouse, a child, or a good friend, you can set it how you want it to be. And that's going to show up from the contact side of it.
Okay. But it's the same call, correct?
Yes, sir. It's the same call, same phone number that it was received from.
Okay, let's look at line 10 and 9 directly above that. Again, the 9 is slightly obscured, but what do we see there? What activity do those two lines represent?
Those two lines show calls from 1-803-942-1227. Line 10 has it as PA. Direction shows an incoming call, and it shows it as a missed call.
Okay. And again, it's Alex and PA, but it's the same number ending in 1227, correct?
Yes, sir, correct.
And you've had an opportunity to examine a phone associated with 1227, correct?
Yes, sir, I have.
And whose phone is that?
That was Alex Murdoch's.
And again, that time is what?
Thank you.
All right, and the two times you see in line 10 and 9, can you read those times in those two blocks, and are they the same?
Yes, sir, they are the same. It is 6, 7, 2021 at 9, 06, 14 p.m. UTC minus 4.
Okay. And that's local time, 9:06, correct?
Yes, sir, that's local time.
And 14 seconds, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. And let's read the times for line 11, 12. That's the first call from Alex. What are the times for the call that's associated with lines 11 and 12?
They are the same time. It is 6, 7, 2021 at 9:04, 23 p.m. UTC minus 4.
All right, we're going to talk about a few more lines here. Let's talk about lines 7 and 8 on this report. And what does this information show?
It shows a phone call of 1-803-942-1227. On line 7, it has the name of Alex. Direction shows incoming. And it shows that it was a missed call received on 6-7-2021 at 9:06:51 p.m. UTC minus 4.
Right. And again, those are two lines associated with the same call, correct?
Yes, sir.
And so just reviewing, within the space of about 2 minutes, you see three separate calls from Alex's phone incoming into Maggie's phone. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
All right. And after that 9:06:51 call on line 7 and 8, what's the next call you see on this log?
Moving up the call log, the next call I see is from 1-803-942-1227 on line 5. It has the name of Alex. The time received on that call is at 9:45:32 p.m. UTC minus 4.
And that's lines 5 and 6, correct?
Yes, sir.
For the same call, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. And finally, let's talk about lines 3 and 4. What information do you see there?
On lines 3 and 4, they're the same call from 1-803-942-1227. On line 4, it shows it as PA. Direction is an incoming call. And it was received at 10:03:58 p.m. UTC minus 4 as a missed call.
All right. And to clarify, these last five calls from Alex, were any of them answered?
No, sir.
And previously, we looked at pictures. When you took pictures of Maggie's phone, you took a picture of her call log, correct?
Yes, sir, I did.
All right, and I'm showing you again. I'm going to put it up on the screen. It's been admitted. Exhibit 278. And we saw that numeral 5 next to Alex's name, correct?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
And that represents 5 missed calls.
Yes, sir, that's correct.
And I don't know if you're doing math while we went through that, and we can look at it again if you'd like, Lieutenant Dove, but did you count the calls from Alex that were missed in a row as we went through that call log?
Yes, sir, I came up with 5.
Okay. And since I have that picture up there, when you access Maggie's phone to take these pictures and to go through some of these screens, did you change any settings?
No, sir. The extraction had already been done at the point I took these photos.
Okay, so the extraction actually was done before these pictures.
Yes, sir.
All right. But even after, did you change any settings or open up any calls to make anything different on the phone?
No, sir, I did not.
And just looking at Maggie's call log on the phone itself again. This is still 278. We talked about calls with Barbara that were 7:50 p.m. on the call log, correct?
Yes, sir.
And looking at this screen, we see a call before that, before Barbara. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And who is that name on that call?
Mary Ann.
Okay. And was that a completed call?
Yes, sir. It shows as a completed call, not a missed call.
Okay. And can you look at the screen? Maybe you can't. Can you tell from this screen itself whether it was an incoming or outgoing call?
No, sir. I cannot tell for sure from the screen.
If we looked at it on the call log we just talked about with on Exhibit 281, you'd be able to tell that information, correct?
Yes, sir. Okay.
All right. Okay, so let's move on. Let's talk about Maggie's text message report. I'm going to show you something that's marked as Exhibit 282. Do you recognize that, sir?
Yes, sir, I do.
What is that?
This is a Cellebrite report I produced from Maggie Murdoch's phone that has text messages with a report filter that was set from June 7th, 2021 to June 7th, 2021 for just a daytime, a one day's worth of text messaging.
And what kind of information does that report have on it?
General information it has. On the beginning of the report, it's going to have information about the device as far as the Apple ID and what the name is that's associated with the phone, the type of phone, just general data as far as device information. On the other pages, you'll see text messaging that's on the phone, who they were from, the text message, the date, and also show the status if it was read or an unread message.
And when you look to see if it was read or unread, if a message had been read, would the phone record that time and date the message was read?
Yes, sir, it does.
At this point, the state's going to move to introduce State's Exhibit 282. Okay.
Submitted.
All right. Thank you. All right. Now, let's talk a little bit about how the text messages are organized in this report. Is it strictly chronological through?
No, sir, not always. Sometimes they can get a little out of order, depending on when the text messaging and the filters you set on the report.
Okay, and how did you set that up on this form? I can get back to you to look at.
On this report, it appears to have pulled chronologically, but it's also pulling instant messages versus chat messages, and they are coming from different databases.
Okay. So if it came from a different database, it's separate, but all the SMSs should be in chronological order, correct?
Yes, sir.
Right. So let's look at a few things here. This is page 31 of this report. All right. Can you read that at the bottom? Is that readable?
Just part of the bottom is readable.
Sorry, I was looking at the wrong one. Okay. And what is this?
This is appears to be a group text message that was received on this phone. Okay. From one individual to several other individuals.
Let's not read numbers, but most of these have names next to them. So who sent this message?
It appears it has it down as John Marvin.
Okay. And who else is in this text group?
Maggie Murdoch is appears in this, but it has her user account name, which is a Yahoo email address.
Okay.
It has Alex, Christy, Lynn, Alan, Liz, and it has one phone number that does not have a name associated with it.
Okay. All right. And what time did this text message arrive on Maggie's phone?
It appears that the text message was received 6/7/2021 at 8:31 p.m. UTC minus 4.
I think without defense objection, the state's going to move to seal this as per the evidence per the previous protocol.
Your Honor, and I understand that to protect the phone numbers and email addresses of the other folks on here, we have no objection.
Is that correct?
No objection to sealing the phone numbers, Your Honor.
Okay. All right, now look, real quick, again, what time did that text arrive on Maggie's phone?
It shows at the bottom of it at 6/7/2021 at 8:31 p.m. UTC minus 4.
Okay. And was that text message read?
Yes, it shows it is read.
Okay. And what time was it read?
It shows that it's read on 6/7/2021 at 8:31:16 p.m. UTC minus 4.
So about 16 seconds later.
Correct? Yes, sir.
Can you read this text message, please?
Yes, sir. It says, I plan to go over to visit Dad tomorrow afternoon. Is anyone else planning to go?
All right. And that's from John Marvin, correct?
Yes, sir.
And we're not going to go back and look at the previous text in this thread, but what is the general topic that they're discussing, just for context for the jury?
It appears that they're talking about going to visit Dad tomorrow and trying to find out if anybody else plans to go over with them at any time.
And this is a response to a series of texts about Randolph, Alex's dad, and his health, correct?
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to turn over to page 32, and we see another text. And this is that same text group, correct?
Yes, sir, it is.
And this is another text that arrived on Maggie's phone, correct?
Yes, sir, it did.
Who sent that text?
It looks like Lynn G.
All right. And what does it say?
It says, I'm in court all week, with an emoji.
Okay. All right. Was this text read?
Yes, sir. It shows it is read at 8:49:27 p.m. UTC minus 4 on 6/7/2021.
Okay. I'm going to hand this report back to you. Will you help? Have you helped me find? I believe Maggie receives a text later, and it might be from Rogan. Could you find that text in there for me, please?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I've located it.
Okay, what time did that text arrive on her phone?
That text arrived on 6/7/2021 at 9:34:14 p.m. UTC minus 4.
Let me see. All right, and that text is from who?
That text, it says it's from Rogan.
And that's at least what the call or the apps, or excuse me, the contact list says.
Yes, sir. That's the name that was entered in the contact list associated with that phone number.
And that arrived on Maggie's phone when?
On 6/7/2021 at 9:34:14 p.m. UTC minus 4.
And was that text ever read?
No, sir. It appears as a status of unread.
Okay. Now, let's be clear about something, Lieutenant Dove. You know, when we say a text is read or a call was answered, can you know for certain from your forensic analysis of who the actual person was who answered a call or made a call or read a text?
No, sir. I cannot tell you who did it. I can tell you that the phone has the information. The phone recorded certain information, but I can't tell you who's actually touching the screen or pushing the buttons on it.
Okay. All right. But in order to place a call, or to place a text, or to read a text, what condition has to be satisfied? All right, we'll continue for now. Where was I? What condition has to be satisfied in order for someone to make a call on a phone?
Unless you're making an emergency call, like a 911 call, you would need to know the passcode to be able to unlock the phone to get to the contact list or either to the number pad to dial the number.
All right. So you need to know, A, the passcode, correct?
Yes, sir.
To unlock the phone, correct?
Yes, sir.
And are there other ways to lock these phones or unlock these phones?
There's also, too, with iPhones, which this one was, there's the biometric way of doing it. If you set a face unlock, where instead of having to enter your passcode every time, you can look at it, the camera will activate, and then it'll unlock via your face.
Yeah. All right. So that was 282. Can I see 282 again? I'm sorry. I'm going to show you, I believe there's some texts from Alex that Maggie received that night. Can you find those in that report, sir?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I found the text thread.
Okay. All right.
So what's the beginning?
All right. Let's look at page 16. And can you read that, sir?
Are you referring to the bottom text on that one?
Yes.
Yes, sir, I can.
Okay. All right. And who's that text from?
It's from Alex.
All right. And it was sent to Maggie's phone, correct?
Yes, sir, it was.
At what time did that arrive on Maggie's phone?
It shows 6/7/2021 at 9:08:58 p.m. UTC minus 4.
Okay. And was that text ever read?
No, sir. It shows the status is unread.
And I can hand you back the report if you need to refer to it again. But we previously discussed a text at 8:49 and 27 from Lynn G., I believe, that was read, correct?
Yes, sir.
Is there any text that arrived on Maggie's phone after that time that were read?
No, sir, there was not.
And I'm going to hand you, it's been marked as State's Exhibit 282. And I'm going to ask if you recognize that, sir.
Yes, sir, I do.
What is that?
This is a Cellbrite report that I produced from Maggie Murdoch's phone. It has on there device events from her phone with a date range filter placed on it for the day of 6/7/2021.
Okay. All right. And what kind of information is contained in that report?
In this report, it's going to have different information in there as far as activity. It'll have location information in there. It'll also have whether the phone was unlocked, if it was locked, if there's orientation changes, It'll also pull if it was plugged in, whether to a car or to the wall to charge.
And these are all, this is all, most of this is information that's stored in those databases we discussed previously, correct?
Yes, sir. This, most of this information is in the Knowledge Seed database.
Okay. Beg court's indulgence. And how many pages is this report?
I don't remember offhand. I think it could be 87. I can't remember if that's the 87-page report that I produced for that one.
Okay. I'm going to direct your attention, if you can read that, to line 4336. Do you see that at the bottom, sir?
Yes, sir, I do.
And what information is contained on line 4336?
It has the first column has the number, then it has device events. The next column that's populated has a date of 6-7-2021, 8:17:15 p.m. UTC minus 4 start time. Then the column, two columns over, it has unplugged, and this information was obtained through from the Knowledge Seed database.
What does unplugged mean?
It would indicate that the phone was unplugged, whether from a vehicle or from a wall. Or a computer that it was charging.
And I'm going to show you again states 283. And you previously explained that as a report you prepared off of Maggie Selbrook phone, correct?
Yes, sir.
And it's a timeline report, correct?
Yes, sir, the device events.
All right. And at this time, state would move to introduce exhibit 283 into evidence.
Okay.
Admit it.
I'm going to direct your attention to line 4354. Can you see line 4534?
Yes, sir, I can see 4354.
And what's the date and time associated with that log?
4354, the date associated is 6-7-2021 at 8:30:23 p.m. UTC minus 4.
And what is that data entry?
That entry shows Poshmark buy and sell fashions.
Would that be a website?
Yes, sir.
And what does that indicate to you was occurring on this phone at that time?
That it was possibly running in the background.
Okay. Would this be a website that had been previously accessed on this phone?
Yes, sir.
Show you a series of entries starting at 4404 here. I want to see if you can read that up there. Can you read 4404?
Yes, sir.
All right. And above that is 4403, correct?
Yes, sir.
And what is that line entry we see at 4403?
It shows that the display was on, and that was obtained from the Knowledge Seed database.
Okay. This is all June 7, 2021, correct?
Yes, sir. And the time on that one is at 8:49:20 p.m. UTC minus 4. It shows as a start time.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute. Display on. What does that mean?
It's when your screen lights up. It's the easiest way I can describe it. And there can be a variety of reasons why it would light up.
All right. Well, let's talk about some reasons. Why don't you list some, please?
If you receive a notification, whether it's a call, a text message, if you have it set to receive notifications from an app, like the CVS app that was previously on there, you receive those notifications, your screen, if it's your phone sitting down and not being used, it'll light up to let you know that you received the notification. It can light up if you have too much vibration sometimes. If you're walking around tossing your phone up and down, sometimes it can light up. There's various reasons why what could cause it to light up.
Could bumping the phone light up the screen?
Yes, sir, it could.
Could picking your phone up light up the screen?
Yes, sir.
Of those reasons you gave, some of them sound like there could be human caused, correct?
Yes, sir.
And some of them sound like could be processes that are on the phone itself and requires no external human interaction, correct?
Correct.
All right. So bumping a phone, that's a human interaction. If someone physically bumps a phone, correct?
Yes, sir.
But if a notification comes in and the screen lights up, is that something necessarily the user calls?
No, sir.
So it could just happen on its own?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So let's look at line 4404, the line below that. And I think we've got the date established, but what time is that line at 4404?
It shows a time of 8:49:26 p.m. UTC minus 4 as a start time.
And what kind of data entry is that?
It appears to be an SMS or a text message that the phone was processing.
Okay. And then below that, on line 4405, we see a device event, correct?
Yes, sir.
At the same time, correct?
Yes, sir.
And what does it say?
It says that was the 8:49:26 p.m. is an end time, and it shows device locked.
Okay. Well, let's look at 4406 below it. What kind of event is that?
That shows an event of the device unlocked.
Okay. So the phone's unlocked at 8:49:26, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And then at line below that, 4407, we see the display is back on, correct?
Yes, sir. It shows display on.
Well, what did we just previously talk about that happened at 8:49:27?
That's when a text message was received.
Was it received or read at that point?
I would have to go back and look at the report. I believe it was read.
Okay. It was read?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And so when you see this sequence of events on this timeline log, what would you associate that with, knowing the fact that there was a text message read at that time?
That a text message was received on the phone, that the phone was unlocked to read the text message.
Okay. And I think I might find that report again, which is, just to refresh your memory, 279. That's the wrong one, sorry. 282, my apologies. 282. Just to refresh your memory, why don't you go back and look at that event at 8:49:27. I believe it was the text thread from the family members.
Yes, sir, I found it.
And what time did that text message arrive on the phone?
It arrived at 8:31:47 p.m.
All right. And what time is it read?
It's read at 8:49:27 p.m.
Okay. And so just so we don't get things confused or mixed up, that text message had been on the phone for quite for a few minutes anyway by that point, correct?
Yes, sir.
But it wasn't read until 8:49:27, correct?
Correct.
All right, let's keep going here for a minute. All right, let's look at line 4409. Do you see that line on your screen, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and what is this line? What does this represent?
This is a line that indicates the start of an orientation change of the phone.
Okay. And what is an orientation change?
An orientation change would be if you take your phone, it's considered portrait if you're holding it straight up. If you turn it to the side, it's considered landscape, and that would be changing the orientation of it from straight up to sideways.
So what can cause an orientation change?
It would have to be somebody moving the phone. As far as if I'm holding my phone up to talk to somebody or to look at something on their scrolling, and then I hold it down by my side, it's going to cause it to change orientation. Or if I rotate it in my hand to watch a video, it's going to cause an orientation change.
So could picking up a phone to read a text message cause an orientation change?
Yes, sir, depending on where you're holding it to start with.
And can you think of any process on a phone that would cause an orientation change to log other than a human holding the phone?
No, sir, not that I've seen.
Okay. Well, one possibility I want to ask you about is, say a phone's dropped, could that cause an orientation change?
It would have to tumble end over end, like down steps, for instance, and it would have to be on to be able to record that orientation change.
Okay. All right. Let's go down to line 4412. Do you see that, sir? I'll screw you up.
Yes, sir, I do.
And what does that line show?
That line shows the start time of the device being locked.
Okay. And what time is that?
It's at 8:49:31 p.m. UTC minus 4.
All right, and I can hand this phone to you, or excuse me, this report back to you. We'll come back to this that line again in a minute. But I'm having you look through this report. So the phone was locked at 8:49:31, correct?
Yes, sir.
Can you look in that report and determine if at any point later that night the phone was unlocked?
I do see on here where it does show that the lock stage ended on 6/8/2021 at 1:10:35 p.m. UTC minus 4.
And that's the next day, correct?
Yes, sir. That's the next afternoon at 1:10 p.m.
Okay, so that phone was locked between 8:49:31 and 1:10 p.m. the next day, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And I'm going to go right back and look at line 4414. Excuse me, 4413. We just discussed 4412, which is the phone being locked at 8:49:31, correct?
Yes, sir.
Do you see any entries? What time is the next entry on this report?
Could you repeat which number you're looking at?
On line 4412, we see the phone is locked at 84931, which is what you just testified to, correct?
Yes, sir.
What time is the next event on this log?
The next event on the log shows a display off at 8:53:08 p.m.
Okay. Is there anything that occurred on this report between those two times on this phone?
Not on the device activities report or the device event report.
Okay. And at 8:53:08, what do we see?
We see that it's the end time for the display off.
Okay, and that's line 4413.
Yes, sir.
And then we see at 4414, what happened?
It's an orientation change.
Okay. And at 4415, what happens?
The display comes on.
Okay. You just said it was an orientation change, correct?
Yes, sir.
And what does that, from your expert opinion, tell you is going on with this phone?
It's an end time for an orientation change from the landscape. In my opinion, the phone's going from being landscaped, being held like this, in a position like this, to going into the portrait position, which is up.
And you previously testified that there's only a very small number of things that can cause an orientation change, correct?
Correct.
And it's most likely that that's a human-caused event, correct?
Correct.
However, you can't testify to today as to who held that phone at that time, correct?
Correct.
All right. And let's keep going here for a little bit. We're at 8:53:24, and that's line 4417. What do you see again?
It shows an end time for orientation change from portrait.
Okay. And then we see at lines 4418 and 4419, we see the display come on and off, correct?
Yes, sir. It shows the end time of display on, and then it shows the start time of display off.
We'll go to the bottom of that page and we'll look at lines 4428 and 4427. What do you see there, sir?
On 4428, it shows the start time at 8:54:40 p.m. of the orientation change to landscape. At 4429, it shows the end time, which is at 8:54:44 p.m. orientation change from landscape.
And my apologies, I meant to direct you to lines 4426 and 4427. What do you see in those lines?
On those lines, it shows at 8:54:34 p.m. It shows the start time of the camera and the phone.
All right. And how long is that camera on for, that you can tell?
It appears to be on for 59 seconds. Or, yes, 59 seconds. I'm sorry, 1 second.
1 second.
I'm sorry, doing math sometimes gets me.
It's okay. All right, so that camera's on for 1 second. In your opinion, what does that tell you is happening on this phone?
It appears the phone's being moved and the camera's activating in the background to see if it would recognize somebody's face that would unlock it.
So the phone is attempting to face unlock, correct?
Yes, sir. That's what it appears.
But you just testified that after 8:49:31, the phone never unlocked, correct?
Correct.
So with this camera entry, does the phone successfully unlock?
No, sir.
Now, can you tell us what that camera was looking at? Do you have any data that would suggest specifically what the camera was looking at?
No, sir. I don't know what the camera was being pointed at.
So it could be looking at the ground?
Yes, sir.
The sky?
Yes, sir.
Somebody's face other than Maggie Murdoch?
Yes, sir.
But if that camera had seen Maggie Murdoch's face, what would you expect to happen?
I would expect for it to unlock.
Okay, let's keep going. All right, let's look at line 4434, and this is at time 8:55:32. What do you see there, sir?
It shows the end time for orientation portrait, which means it was ending in that orientation.
Okay. So again, at that time, would it be your opinion that phone was held in somebody's hand?
Yes, sir. Okay.
Okay, and let's look real quick at the bottom of that page, and that's line 4441. And what is that information there?
And 4441 comes from the activity sensor data, and that's at 9 o'clock even p.m. And it shows steps. It also shows distance traveled.
Okay. And let's talk about the steps for a minute. You've produced another report that specifically focused on steps that you pulled from this phone, correct?
Yes, sir, correct.
Right. And that shows more granular data of when steps occurred than this report shows, correct?
Correct.
And so just because we see 9 o'clock on this report, does that mean that steps occurred exactly at 9 o'clock on this phone?
No, sir. It's the 2 after the 9 o'clock on that, which means it would be a range as far as... Example would be like 9 to 10 for the total steps.
And you prepared another report that would show specific steps at during a specific time range, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay. Keep going. All right, let's look at line 4447. What do you see there?
4447 shows from the call log database an incoming call at 9:04:23 p.m.
Okay, and who's that call from?
It's from phone number 1-803-942-1227, PA.
And that's the call that we discussed in Maggie's specific call log, correct?
Yes, sir, it is.
And that's at 9:04:23, correct?
Yes, sir.
And was that call answered?
No, sir, it showed no time that call was answered.
All right, let's look at the bottom of that page, line 4454, at 9:06:12. What do we see there?
At 9:06:12 shows the start time of an orientation change to portrait.
Okay. And again, in your opinion, what does that tell you about whether this phone is in someone's hand?
In my opinion, it would be in somebody's hand that was changing it from landscape up to portrait, lifting it.
And that's at 9:06:12, correct?
Yes, sir.
Let's go to line 4456. Can you read that, sir?
Yes, sir, I can.
Okay. And line 4457.
What is
line 4456 and 57 associated with?
They're associated with a phone call that was incoming to Maggie's phone.
Okay. And what is the time on that call?
It's at 9:06:14 p.m.
2 seconds after that orientation change, correct?
Yes, sir.
And that call came after the orientation change, correct?
Yes, sir.
And again, you can't tell us whose phone, or your digital forensics can't tell us whose hand that phone was in at that point.
Correct.
All you could tell us was the phone was locked at that point, correct?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to hand this back to you, and I want you to review this report. And I want to tell have you tell us if that is the final orientation change in 90612 or not. See if you see any further orientation changes after that point.
I do see the end time for the orientation of portrait that it recorded.
Okay. What time was that?
It was at 9:06:20 p.m.
Okay. And when you say end time, what do you mean?
It's just the time that it recorded that it stopped in recording that portrait mode. It
so does not. Please finish.
I'm sorry. I was going to say I don't see any orientation change to landscape after that in this report.
Okay. So at 9:06:12. The orientation change starts, correct?
Yes, sir.
And 9:06:14, there's an incoming call from Alex, correct?
Yes, sir.
And after that point, you do not see any more orientation changes, correct?
Correct.
Let me direct your attention. You talked about the 9:06:20 orientation change in time, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. And then we see at line 4461 another incoming call, correct?
Yes, sir. That was at 9:06:51 p.m., and that was from 1-803-942-1227 PA.
Okay. And that's Alex's phone, correct?
Yes, sir.
And that's the third phone call within about 2 minutes from Alex, correct?
Yes, sir.
And I see an entry at line 4464 at 9:07. Do you see that, sir?
Yes, sir, I do.
And that's a display on and off, correct?
Yes, sir.
And we've already discussed there could be a number of reasons for that display coming on and off, correct?
Yes, sir.
And the data you see on the phone is not going to be able to tell you exactly why that screen came on, will it?
Correct.
All right, line 4466. What is this?
4466 shows a text message received incoming at 9:08:58 p.m. From the phone number 1-803-942-1227, Alex to Maggie Murdoch.
What does that text say?
It says, going to check on M, be right back.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot here. That call occurred at 9:06:51, correct?
Yes.
And the text came from Alex at 9:08:58, correct?
Yes.
And this was a text that was never read, I believe you testified to in the previous report, correct?
Yes, sir, correct.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Can you calculate the time between 9:06:51 and 9:08:58, please? Take your time. If you need a pen,
it appears to be 2 minutes and 7 seconds.
There's 2 minutes and 7 seconds between that call from Alex to that text from Alex, correct?
Yes, sir, correct.
Thank you. Let's look at lines 44, 65, and above it, excuse me, 44, 68, and above that's obscure because of staple, but 44, 67. Do you see those two entries?
Yes, sir.
We see that's, mobile SMS at 908.58. Is that a data entry associated with that incoming text from Alex we just talked about?
Yes, sir, it is.
And what time is that again?
It's 9:08:58 p.m.
Okay. What's the next entry on that log?
The next entry on the log is at 9:31:44 p.m. Shows an end time of display off.
Okay. And I'm not going to ask you to do the precise math this time, but roughly how many minutes is that between 9:08:58 and 9:31:44?
Approximately 22 minutes.
Okay. For 22 minutes, nothing happens on that phone, correct?
Correct.
There's no orientation changes, the phone's not unlocked, there's no incoming calls, nothing outgoing, correct?
Correct.
The phone just sits there for approximately 22 minutes.
Correct.
Right. And what do we see start happening at 9:31:44?
We see that the display comes on is the start time of that.
Okay. And we've talked about this already. We see the display come on and off a few times in that short span of time at about 9:31 p.m., correct?
Yes, sir.
But it's just a display coming on. Do you see anything associated with that display coming on?
No, sir. Not until approximately the 9:34:14 p.m.
Right. We'll get to that in a second, but at least for this display coming on, there seems to be no cause for that, correct?
Correct.
And you previously testified, the screen coming on doesn't tell you a whole lot, does it?
No, sir.
It could be the phone is being bumped or moved in some way, correct?
Yes, sir.
It could be the phone's just sitting there, and there's some sort of automatic process that causes that phone to light up, correct?
Correct.
Let's talk about it. You start talking about it, but we see an instant message on line 4477, correct?
Yes, sir.
And that's at what time?
That's at 9:34:14 p.m.
And which contact is that from?
It shows the contact of Rogan.
And what does that text message say?
It says, "Tell Paul to call me."
All right. And you previously testified about this in her text message log. Was that text message ever read?
No, sir.
All right, we're going to skip down a little bit. And I'm on line 98, and we see there, it looks like an incoming call, correct?
Yes, sir.
And who's that from?
It is from PA with the phone number of 1-803-942-1227.
And was that call answered?
No, sir.
And line 4503, what time is that entry?
That entry is at 9:47:23 p.m.
And what is that?
It is a text message that was received on that from Alex. It says, "Call me, babe."
And was that text ever read? I know that's referencing the previous report.
No, sir, that text was not read.
I'm going to hand this report back to you, and I want to look, have you look at the next few pages. I don't want to tell, want you to tell this jury whether you see anything in your expert opinion that would indicate that anybody actively used that phone after that last text call.
Not on 6-7-2021.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to hand you what's been marked as State's Exhibit 284. Take a look at that and tell us what it is, please.
This is an Axiom report by Magnet Forensics that I prepared from Maggie's phone with health data information and steps.
Okay. So that includes steps from Maggie's phone, correct?
Yes, sir.
At this time, State, you move into right, I think I'm going to direct you to record 22. If I'm looking at the right thing. Nope. Record 23, excuse me. All right, record 23. What information does this record tell us?
This record tells us that 38 steps were recorded by this phone on 6-7-2021 at 8:17:41 p.m. was the start time, and the end time was 6-7-2021 at 8:18:29 p.m.
And how many steps were taken at that time?
38 steps.
And this was this is a report that shows the precise time when the steps, at least the phone recorded the steps started and when they stopped, correct?
Correct.
All right, let's talk about that for a minute. Steps on a phone. How does the phone record steps? How does it decide that there are steps taking place?
It's several different ways it can record. It's dependent on how the phone's carried as to how many steps it records. If you carry a phone in your hand and you walk, it's going to record more steps. If you carry it on your waist in a phone case, it's not going to record as many steps because it's not detecting the motion. It's not 100% accurate as far as the steps. There are ways that if you're trying to meet your fitness goal, for instance, you can try to trick a phone or a smartwatch into believing you did more activities and more steps than you actually did.
Okay. So, but at a more fundamental level, what is the phone using to determine where the steps are taking place?
It's a process running inside the phone that is recording the motion.
What does it use to record the motion?
As far as...
Would it be accelerometers?
It would, a lot of times it would be. Some of the newer ones are recording actually more than that as far as recording strides and things like that, the newer versions.
All right. And In your opinion, you know, the steps that a phone records, is it always 100% accurate?
No.
And so this says 38 steps. Does that necessarily mean that whoever was holding his phone actually moved exactly 38 steps?
No, sir.
But what does it tell you in a more general sense?
In a more general sense, it tells me that this phone, somebody was holding this phone, it took steps and it recorded steps.
All right. And let me reference back to the previous report. I believe you testified that at 8:17, Maggie's phone was unplugged, correct? On the...
Yes, sir, it was.
All right. And then at 8:17, we start to see steps again, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's look at record 25. All right, and what does this show, record 25?
This shows that 43 steps were recorded by the phone. At 8:30, 40 p.m. was the beginning, and it ended at 8:33, 28 p.m.
Okay. All right, and let me point out something real quick. The entry above that, which is record... I don't think there's a record number associated with it, but it says 810. Almost. Okay. Yeah, I see an entry at 810.31, just above that record 25. What is that entry at 810.31? You see that?
At 8:10:31, it looks like it's part of a previous record from the previous page. It shows the duration of in minutes of 4.58.
Okay. And so some of these are a little bit out of chronological order, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. But the times that are reported in each record is accurate, correct?
Yes, sir.
Even if some of these entries seem to have gotten out of order, correct?
Yes, sir.
Can you explain why that happened when you made this report?
I set it to... produce in chronological order. Sometimes, though, when the report goes through, it will not do that. It's just an issue we've had with that report where it'll move it out of chronological order, but the information is still there and still accurate.
Okay. Let's look at record 26. What do you see in record 26?
In record 26, I see that 59 steps were recorded by the phone at 8:53:15 p.m. begin and end at 8:55:32 p.m.
Okay. And again, how many steps was that?
It was 59 steps.
Okay. And I think you previously testified, we were looking at the timeline, and it looked like someone was manipulating with that phone, correct?
Correct.
You saw some orientation changes, correct?
Yes, sir, correct.
We saw the camera come on at approximately that time, correct?
Correct.
But the phone's off, correct?
Correct.
All right, I want to give this back to you, report to have you look at it real quick. And you've also, I know, have studied this phone data in more detail than just in that report. Are you aware, after that 8:53 entry, of that phone ever recording any more steps?
No, sir. The next set of steps it shows it recorded was on 6/8/2021 at 3:12:22 p.m.
Okay. The next day?
The next day, yes, sir.
And let's circle back to that real quick. I know you were not present for the collection of Maggie's phone. Is that correct?
Correct.
But generally, the circumstances, as you understand them, are what and how it was collected?
The phone was collected from the side of the road. It was given to Crime Scene, who brought it back and logged it into our forensic lab, at which point I went over, logged it out of the forensic lab, and then took it over to our office to log it in.
And it was, but it was not collected till the next afternoon, correct?
Or correct.
Until the next afternoon, excuse me.
Correct. My understanding is it was found on 6/8/2021.
All right. I think we're in a good stopping point.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we will adjourn for the evening and start back at 9:30 tomorrow morning. Please do not discuss the case.
That wraps up today's coverage of the trial of Alec Murdoch. Be sure to press subscribe to not miss any of our courtroom coverage and discussions on the case. You can even get a commercial-free experience through Apple Podcasts when you subscribe there. Until next time, for all of us at True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening to our special coverage of the trial of Alec Murdaugh.